From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, May 14th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Diversions Puzzles and Games, committed to offering fun, social, and technology-free ways to connect at Hannaford Plaza by Main Mall and DiversionsGames.com, and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at redzonewireless.com.
A bill requiring the state's Medicaid program to cover abortion services has cleared the Maine Senate. The vote broke mostly along party lines, with the Democratic majority voting to pass a bill that ends Maine's practice of blocking state Medicaid funds for abortion services. The House voted last week to approve the bill, which requires additional votes before heading to Democratic Governor Janet Mills. Maine inched closer today toward joining other states in an interstate compact that overhauls the Electoral College system currently used to elect U.S. presidents. States in the compact agree to distribute their electoral votes to the candidate who wins the popular vote nationwide, even if another candidate carries that state. Saco Democratic Senator Justin Chenette says the bill would prevent repeats of the 2016 and 2000 elections, in which Donald Trump and George W. Bush were elected in spite of losing the national popular vote.
There were two elections in my lifetime where a president was decided by a process overruling the will of the voters.
About a dozen states have signed on to the National Popular Vote Compact. States in the compact won't use the popular vote method until it's large enough to represent 270 electoral votes. The bill now moves to the House for further action. And Maine's highest court is considering a custody dispute over a former couple's dog. Justices are being asked to issue an advisory opinion about pet custody when an unmarried couple ends a relationship. Patty White reports on the battle for Honey the dog.
In a lower court ruling, ownership of Honey the dog was granted to Kelvin Liriano after he and girlfriend Jessica Sardina broke up. The decision was based on property law, but Sardina's attorney Eugene Sullivan argued before the Maine Supreme Judicial Court Tuesday that companion animals are not the same as other material possessions.
If we're saying that a toaster and a dog are different, she clearly established this a significant relationship with Honey. And that should count for something going forward.
The attorney for Liriano told the justices that his client should have sole ownership because he adopted and paid for the dog on his own. During oral arguments, justices questioned whether they have the authority to issue an advisory opinion about pet custody for unmarried couples. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Looking at the weather tonight, snow showers in the mountains, rain showers north and down east. Otherwise, cloudy skies with overnight lows in the 30s. Tomorrow, rain and snow showers north in mountains. A bill that would establish one of the more far-reaching vaccination laws in the country is now a step closer to reaching Democratic Governor Janet Mills after a vote in the Maine Senate today. The proposal eliminates all non-medical exemptions to the state's vaccination requirements for Maine school kids. And as Steve Missler reports, it comes as a resurgence of once eradicated diseases has sparked a divisive debate over individual rights and public health.
The vote in the Senate Tuesday effectively reverses earlier action by the Democratic-controlled Senate to retain exemptions for religious reasons. In the previous vote, four Democrats sided with the Republican minority to retain the religious opt-out, which is currently allowed in 47 other states. But like Maine, several states are moving to strike the religious exemption amid outbreaks of measles, mumps, and pertussis. And that's triggered pushback from religious groups and lawmakers like Republican Senator Matt Pouliot of Augusta, who argued Tuesday that eliminating the exemption coerces parents into immunizing their children or risk having them removed from Maine schools.
This bill bullies the small minority by overriding their lack of consent to a medical procedure and does so by mobilizing stereotypes that the unvaccinated are dirty, dangerous, and contagious, when there are no such thing.
Under current law, parents can opt out of the vaccination requirement by filling out a form citing philosophical or religious reasons. The bill would eliminate those exemptions beginning in 2021, while also broadening the criteria that allows physicians to grant medical opt-outs. Senator James Dill of Old Town was one of the four Democrats who previously voted with a Republican minority to retain religious exemptions, a vote that put the Senate bill at odds with a version approved by the House and threatening to stall what doctors and health groups say is a needed overhaul to Maine's vaccine law. Dill reversed his position on Tuesday, putting the proposal back on track. He said he hoped Governor Mills will approve a study that further evaluates the need for medical exemptions.
I believe the medical exemptions need to be broadened, not necessarily to acts exempt, but perhaps to space scheduling of immunizations based on reactions and not necessarily on a doctor.
The governor has not said if she'll sign the proposal, but the Maine Department of Health and Human Services that she oversees testified in support of it. DHHS noted during the public hearing that Maine ranks 7th in the country in non-medical exemption rates among school-age children, and declining immunization rates threaten to dip below the herd immunity threshold that makes the spread of disease unlikely, even among those who are unvaccinated. And while Maine could become just the 4th state to eliminate religious exemptions, New York, New Jersey, Iowa, and Vermont, which banned philosophical exemptions 4 years ago only to see a spike in religious opt-outs, are all considering similar restrictions. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
An ambitious proposal to convert Maine's private electric utilities into a consumer-owned entity got its first public hearing today in Augusta. Fred Bever has that story.
Representative Seth Berry, a Bodenham Democrat who co-chairs the legislature's utility committee, says the state should create a new public grid authority along the lines of others in Maine and the nation. It would be called Maine Power.
We need to build our future energy economy on a foundation that is strong and trustworthy and affordable, not a foundation that is cracked and crumbling.
Berry says that unlike Central Maine Power and AmeriMaine, there would be no shareholders seeking to profit from the service, so any excess revenues Maine Power earned could be used to improve reliability or lower bills. And it could borrow capital to purchase those two utilities for less than what they pay now on their assets, he argues, saving more money.
Think of refinancing your home. If you can, you pay a mortgage, if you can reduce your interest rates and keep the terms over the same years, that's a good thing, and you'd be crazy not to do it. That's what we're proposing to do here. There are no tax dollars deployed in this proposal, not a penny. Hundreds of millions of dollars per year would stay in Maine rather than going overseas.
But critics warned that the buyout's price tag could hobble the plan right from the start. Emera and CMP in 2017 pegged their combined book value at more than $4 billion, a number observers believe is far lower than what they might ultimately have to be paid in a state-mandated sale.
The enormous cost of buying out or seizing by eminent domain billions of dollars of assets, which will devour the borrowing capacity of the state.
David Flanagan is a former CMP CEO who steered the response to the 1998 ice storm.
I think this legislation is a very risky, brutally expensive, and unnecessary approach to addressing these problems.
Interest in the proposal from both sides is high. An overflow crowd waited to testify. The bill is expected to receive further committee action later this month. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation with Maine native and astronaut Jessica Muir. I'm Nora Flaherty.